Radio. Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and this is the show called A Progressive Life. And we're going to be joined here shortly, as soon as I figure out which one of these little buttons I have to push. We'll be joined by Dr. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Excellent. I was struggling to find the little button. All right, but I found it. I found it, and we're good. All right. Well, it's been a strange week, has it not?
A horrible week in so many ways, but also a moment to be glad that we're out of Afghanistan. Yeah. I think it's very important that it finally was ended.
Well, now, let's talk about it. We got out of Afghanistan. The very first blush of criticism or discussion about it was, what a horrible thing to do is just to run...
Donald Trump, if it had his way, it would have been done in May. Yeah. Don't forget, he made the agreement that we were going to end the war. So, I mean, these people, including Kevin McCarthy, who's absolutely a disgrace in so many ways, including trying to stop the investigation of phone records.
I hope Scott heard you say he was a disgrace. He loves that word.
Well, he really is, and he should never be allowed to become speaker. But I tell you, he's just out of control. He will not speak up against Madison Cawthorn so far after what he said a couple of days ago about bloodshed. I mean, that young 26-year-old needs to be expelled from Congress. He's out of control, and he's reckless, and it's just horrible.
Well, there are a lot of people that we could say need to be expelled from Congress, but it's not going to happen. Let's face it.
No, unfortunately, to be a member of Congress, all you have to do is be breathing and alive, because there are no qualifications required in the Constitution, like an education or having common sense or anything else. That's true. And all it comes down to, if you can convince enough people to vote for you by whatever means, you stay in office. That's true.
If they haven't got rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever her name is.
That's her name, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to get rid of anybody. So.
Well, but they did kick her off committees, so that's something.
Yes.
But it also gives her more time to throw around her BS.
But now, okay, in hindsight, and also watching the withdrawal, my personal opinion was, well, first of all, when I saw that we were withdrawing, I was relieved. I knew that there were going to be terrible scenes, but I was relieved that we were getting out. At least we weren't going to see thousands of more kids killed over there. So
it's a sad thing, those 13 young people got killed. It's really upset me the whole week, because it's hard to accept that these are the final victims. 2,000, I think it was, 547 victims in a war that should have been ended very early on.
Yeah, and those were the 13 that passed away in the explosion. There hadn't been a death in over a year.
2 months, I think,
yeah,
was it?
It was a long time.
Yeah.
And that is a shame. My heart breaks for their parents. I don't know how you get through that.
I was shook up for a couple of days over it, because even in my class yesterday, because it happened on Thursday after the class, Tuesday, Thursday class, I had a moment of silence on that issue. You know?
Very good. Well, anyway, after the first day or two, things started to turn around where I thought they should have gone right from the beginning. I thought it was a good choice by our president. I thought people started to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe this isn't such a mess. We're doing a pretty good job of getting out. Now, of course it was a mess, because we got into the war was a mess, but maybe this will, no, it won't. I was going to say, maybe this will wise people up to the fact that war goes nowhere. But
unless it's an essential situation, but you know, to go into Afghanistan, I think, made sense at the time. But, you know, once we had the first few months and nothing was working out, the goal should have been to withdraw troops and use other means to track down Osama bin Laden, because it took 10 years, and we should not have been there even 10 years. So that would be my thought on that.
Well, we now have ways, and they let's see, I'm trying to remember what they called it on the air, correcting.
Well, technology, obviously, is advanced.
Yeah, we're able now, to, over the horizon, that's what they call it, to take care of problems over the horizon. Now, it's not as good as having boots on the ground that can actually see what's going on, but they can pretty much see what's going on. Destruction of that truck in an area, and they killed apparently at least one bomber, and probably two, and maybe three potential bombers. So that, how many people did that save? Unfortunately, it killed 10 of the local people, but strike on that vehicle did not kill any local people. It just killed the people in the truck. What killed the local people was their vests exploding and blowing up everything around it.
Yes, but we also have to remember, besides the 13 soldiers, a couple hundred Afghans were killed by that explosion last Thursday. Well, and we should not forget that, although obviously we think of our soldiers first, but not just that.
And I think we should think of everyone equally. The soldiers know what they signed up for. Those little kids that were running around that gate that blew up, they had no idea what was going on. Fortunately, I hope that most of them didn't know what went on. It just killed them instantly. But
We have McCarthy wanting to try to stop Afghan refugees from coming to the United States.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's just... Of course, they have to be vetted in a general sense. I understand.
Sure, they do. Yeah,
and but I can see the Republicans really are saying, "Don't let these people in because they're Muslims," and that's the whole issue of the Islamophobia issue.
Yeah.
So it's going to be used as a political football by the Republicans.
I don't understand why people hate so many other people that don't look like them or don't worship like them.
Because Osama bin Laden, a Muslim, and look what he did. But that's an individual. You don't judge people by their race or their religion. You judge them by individual characteristics.
Hitler was...
You may have to be careful. I understand that people. But you don't go and just say all Muslims are evil. But I know people who think all Muslims are evil. But then I also have known people in the past who wouldn't say so, but under their breath they thought all Jews were not to be trusted either. So you got to realize these are people who have character flaws.
Well, Hitler was a white European that I believe was either Methodist or Lutheran. I'm not sure which. So...
I don't think he was any religion.
He truly wasn't.
I think he was Lutheran, probably, being in Germany, but just born that. But he was not. He was not a person of religion. No.
Well, obviously, he wasn't a true religion. But anyway.
No, but even Martin Luther killed Jews, or had people killed that were Jewish. I mean, the Lutheran Church promoted anti-Semitism, as the Catholic Church did.
Well,
this is part of history. People discriminating against others on race, nationality, and religion, and it's still going on.
I was a friend of a Lutheran girl whose father taught at Valparaiso University, which is the school I graduated from. And we were good friends, great friends. She was a cheerleader when I was a football player, and we were friendly, and even when we got to college, we were still friendly. And one day, we were just talking in the student union, and she said, "You know you're going to hell because you haven't become a Lutheran." And it stunned me so much I couldn't talk, and you know me, I can talk almost any time.
You got stunned, didn't you, by that?
I was stunned.
She wasn't kidding.
She was not kidding. No.
What did you answer her?
I don't remember. I think I just, with my mouth open, it was hard to respond. But I remember her saying to me that she said to me, you're going to go to hell because you haven't become a Lutheran. And
I hate to say, if it had been me, I would have said, "Nice knowing you, goodbye." I would not have spoken to her after that.
Actually, I probably haven't spoken to her since then. Because
but not necessarily that day. I would have made it clear that you are a bigot and you should be ashamed of yourself. That's what I would have said.
Well, her father was my professor in English Zero. They made those of us who transferred into Valparaiso take English Zero, which meant you got no credit for it, and all it was is a way to weed out the people that didn't, I guess, that didn't use...
Well, while you're taking her father, I wouldn't have said anything, but after that, once the connection's gone, I would not have associated with her.
I went to his class Dr. Prawl. I went to his class.
Prawl? Interesting. P-R-A-L-L?
No, P-R-A-H-L.
A-H-L. Yeah. I had a Dr. Prawl in English history in college, P-R-A-L-L, and I just learned he passed away at age 92. Oh,
that's too bad. Well, anyway, I went into Prawl's class. I went, and every Wednesday was a quiz, so being as lazy as I was, I went every Wednesday and I took the quiz. I got A's every time. About halfway through the semester, Dr. Prawl called me up privately and said, "You know you're going to fail this course." And I said, "I've gotten A's on every one of my tests." He said, "But you..."
What does he mean by that?
He said, "There are rules at this university that if you don't attend class on a regular basis, you will be failed." So I just quit going. The heck with it. And then I was told that I wouldn't be able to graduate if I didn't have that class. So
Oh my God.
So I went back and I took that. I took a class again. I got about three.
Sat through every class, huh?
Huh?
And sat through every class.
Well, I got about three quarters of the way through this semester and I said, "This is crap." And I quit going to class because I was getting A's all the time on the test. I was a good English person. And so anyway.
How could he fail you?
Well, he failed me again. And after it was all over, I think I was a... the following year, I was a senior, a graduating senior. I had the right to graduate. But without his class, I couldn't. So I went to a Spanish professor that I had, and I said, "Is there anything I can do to get around that?" And she pulled a few strings, and I graduated without that class.
Yeah, I hate to say, but this professor does look like a very nice person.
He was a very nice person, but he was very, very law and order-ish.
Well, but if you could pass all the tests without showing up, and a lot of students don't show up all the time, even back in my time, you should not fail somebody as long as they do the work.
Well, I asked why I had to take the course, and I had transferred from Butler University where I had played football, and they found out that I was a football player there.
So what?
And I was not a football player at Valparaiso University.
Oh, God.
And they put all the transferring athletes into that class. I guess they thought we were all dumb horses or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't think he's someone to admire looking back now. And his daughter certainly isn't.
Well, she's still friends of mine on Facebook, and she's a very nice lady. But, you know, all of us have some weird decisions that we make to, like...
Oh, boy. That's terrible, though, that she would say that, you know.
Yeah, well, anyway, I got through it. I got my degree, and to heck with them. But anyway, do you feel the way I do that Biden's done a better than average job of getting this out of there?
Yes, I don't think it could have been done any better by Donald Trump at all. And yet, everything that's happened would have happened, but the Republicans would be backing it because it's all hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I think, as I wrote yesterday, a magnificent airlift, a tribute to U.S. military and presidential leadership. And we did get almost 125,000 close to it out, and that's the greatest airlift in history. So, you know, it's not a perfect system, and there's going to be people left behind, and that's still going to be an issue. But that happened in Vietnam as well, and Gerald Ford never made a statement about
right.
After April 30th, 1975, I heard that last night. I hadn't thought back or remembered that.
I didn't remember that either.
I think that he looks better than Gerald Ford, and he took responsibility for what happened, and he did the best he could, and so did all the people around him, as I see it.
Yeah, I think he's done a relatively good job. Well, I keep saying relatively good job. I think he's done a great job based on what he had to work with.
And he was against this as early as 2009 as vice president. Yeah. He disagreed with Obama keeping the war going.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know how I feel about Obama. I worked on his campaign for two different times. And
he couldn't get out. He could say Obama because they would say, "Oh, the black man from Kenya is getting us." I mean, it was hard for him to get out. It really was.
Yeah, but
racism
still.
At the time. But I think he should have at some point.
Yeah, I think he should have, too.
The point is, they disagree, and he didn't try to dump him for the second term. They always got along, and they definitely have a bromance even now, and that's what's so wonderful.
Yeah, and I really believe that Obama was a great president.
Yes.
Scott and I argue about whether he was a great orator or not.
He was the best modern orator since John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Much better than Bill Clinton. I do not agree.
He was better.
on the idea Bill Clinton was that great an orator. He also came across as totally phony. He came across as insincere, Clinton. I never believed a word he said.
Well,
it sounded good, but to me it was insincere.
I believed him, but I think Obama was better than he was. I also think Obama was better than Kennedy. But like I told Scott earlier, I'm not going to rank these people.
Historians and political scientists do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I see there's still discussion on John Adams. It seems like it's never going to end. All I can say is John Adams is rated in the latest poll number 15, so he's in the top third. But he's not Washington, who's second, or Jefferson, who is seventh. And it's based not on the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War. This is their presidency. And they are rated on their presidency. And Jefferson doubled the territory of the United States, the Louisiana Purchase. He kept us out of war with Great Britain. And, of course, in the case of Washington, he picked an exceptional cabinet. And we got the first economic regulation, a bank and national bank and tariff. And he also showed force in Pennsylvania when there was a rebellion against the government that he was going to enforce federal law. And he, of course, also gave a great farewell address and told us to avoid foreign entanglements and also set up the limit of two terms in office, which only FDR broke. And now the 22nd Amendment since 1951 prevents that. So on their accomplishments in office, that is what they're based on, not, even though they have these other great things. And Adams is great in other ways, but as his presidency, he's number 15 compared to number 2 for Washington and number 7 for Jefferson. And that's not one person. It's not me. It's a broad scale of view on those three men.
Now, do you think is, and Scott asked me to ask you this, I think, which do you think is more of a mark against personal freedom and that sort of thing? Being a slave owner or throwing media into prison?
Not just media. There was also a member of the House of Representatives thrown in prison. Matthew Lyon, I mentioned the name, L-Y-O-N in Vermont.
Which was worse.
So it was a member of Congress. Actually, right now, I'd be in the mood to put Kevin McCarthy in prison, jokingly, you know, but I'm just saying. Obviously, being a slave owner is horrible, and I'm not going to defend Jefferson, Washington, or nine of the first 12, not 10, nine of the first 12 presidents who were slave owners. Certainly not going to. But it's almost like apples and oranges. You can't compare the two because that's a personal thing, and it was accepted, not good, but accepted, but to actually sign a civil liberties violation, which later also occurred under Wilson, is simply unacceptable, and it's something that affects the whole society on paper. Not everybody going to jail, but no journalist, no political leader should be put in jail for being critical of a president. And yes, his wife did push him to do it, but you have to also say no. It's my way of looking at it.
Yeah,
and the Congress passed it, but he could have vetoed it and shown courage.
I
don't think John Adams can be praised on that. I just don't think so.
The presidents that I have really respected are the presidents that are willing to say, I won't do that because it's against my principles. And to hell with the political correctness, to hell with what the polls say. They will do something that's right, not what's politically correct.
And I want to defend Jimmy Carter against the statement he was dictatorial.
As far I didn't understand.
Reality,
I should have asked.
Definitely not dictatorial. He was speaking about the malaise in America in 79. He didn't get a good reaction, but he was arguing about the need to change our energy situation, and he was forthcoming and looking ahead, and he's a visionary for that.
Okay. I didn't understand that. And like I told Scott, when you're talking, I told Scott after we got off the air, I apologized to him because I've never studied this stuff. I know what I know about politics, mainly current politics, because in the past 10 years, I've been watching politics a lot. But
I've done it my whole life.
I know you have. So I listen to you. And Scott is very, he's learned a lot. He knows a lot about politics. He reads a lot about, about Adams and about Jefferson and things like that. I don't quite frankly, don't care.
But it was important at the time, and the two men were friends, then they were rivals.
Oh, were they friends?
President and vice president together.
Oh, okay.
Voted against each other, and then they were friends later on.
Oh, that's nice that they were friends.
Yeah, they actually wrote back and forth letters for 14 years before their death, both on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. They're both great men, but as far as ranking in the office, not his whole life, and again, with the faults, Jefferson is number 7, Washington's number 2, and Adams is still pretty good, 15, but he's never going to make the top 10. He never has been.
Well, now, do you think that might be because he only served one term?
Well, in general, that is the case with one exception. John F. Kennedy obviously did not serve a full term, and he's always ranked in the top 10, which I actually think is wrong. I do not think he belongs in the top 10, but he is right now rated number 8, right behind Jefferson. But it's because, unfortunately, people bring it about his assassination. That's not part of the record of him in office. He actually was not very successful after almost 3 years. He was in great trouble and probably would not have won in 1964. And if he had lost, he would not look as good as he looks because he was killed.
Who would have run against him in 64?
Well, Rockefeller was running and also Goldwater.
Okay.
And Goldwater, of course, we know, lost massively in 64 to LBJ. But I'm not so sure that would have been the case against Kennedy. You know, I think it would have been a different situation. There was anti-Catholic aspects to this, too.
There
people didn't like the Catholic president. And if Rockefeller had been able to overcome, I think Rockefeller would have easily beaten Kennedy in 64.
My dad told me he didn't think, when Kennedy did win, he didn't think he'd win because he was Catholic. And he said,
well, actually, there's a theory that he really didn't win, that the election was fixed in Texas and in Chicago, and that Nixon really won, but he chose, unlike Donald Trump, not to challenge, and that was close, while the Biden-Trump election was massive margin, 7 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to go on to our next one because we can talk forever about this.
Of course we could. By the way, I wanted to mention
that
in a few weeks we have our anniversary. We started on the 23rd of September every single week we've been on. So it's almost a year now.
Oh, well, do I get a cake or anything?
On the 22nd, 3 weeks from today, we should celebrate somehow.
Okay. I'll bring a cake here, you two bring a cake there, and we'll eat, stuff our face. How's that? Really, the 23rd. I will remember that. That's pretty good.
I looked it up. It shows all the interviews, and September 23rd is the first time, yes.
Okay, I got to hit your governor.
Believe me, I join you. He should be recalled without a recall vote. The guy is a maniac. He's crazy.
But he's not alone. There are some. What's going on with these governors?
Well, Greg Abbott is as much. And, of course, Kristi Noem, who some people like to say, oh, she's good-looking. I don't give a damn how she looks. She's a good-looking Sarah Palin, as dumb and as dangerous, maybe more than Sarah Palin. She is really off the wall. And we have all those people in South Dakota at the biker rally. Now we have tremendous rates of COVID-19 because she keeps on thinking about money ahead of health. It's great. They should all be removed from office.
What rights do these governors have to say that their education, that they can go against a mandate that children should wear masks?
They should not. But, you know, interesting, I just saw an article online about an Oregon district where they fired the superintendent for enforcing the mask mandate of the Oregon governor, who's a Democrat. And they fired it because the parents don't want their kids to wear masks. There's a lot of parents who are a disgrace and should have their children taken away from them. This is outrageous. How can you be so much concerned about your children and not realize the danger they're facing?
I'm not looking forward to, but I'm afraid there will be some scenes of little children who have died because
their
parents...
Well, there have been some in Florida already.
Really?
Yeah, under 12, yes.
That breaks my heart.
But imagine, they fired the superintendent for enforcing the state mandate to have a mask. That's the opposite of here, you know. But now he's sued, and he stopped their paying the school board. But I hope that's reversed. And the government, Biden, had said that he would make sure these people got paid. But I just think he's totally reckless, our governor, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
And it's just out of control, and You know, it's just amazing to me that he's so concerned about himself being the mini Trump that he's going to run in 2024. And if we end up with him in the White House, oh my God, I'm ready to leave the country. We cannot tolerate another Trump. We just can't.
We can't. Well, now, here in Marion, the superintendent of schools for the Marion Harding schools, and he may also be my color man for football games, from what I understand. I don't know. But he has required that the kids wear masks, and all the other schools in Marion, there are four other schools, I think there are four other schools, they've all allowed the children to come and make their own choice.
So what is happening about the school board and the parents?
Pretty much, they're going along with the superintendents. So it's kind of a shame, but it won't take too long before some little guy or little girl gets sicker than a dog, and somebody's going to say, well, why in the world did the superintendent allow that? Well, don't blame it on the superintendent if you allowed it. So
it's all about that. One of you, meaning Ohio, Republican Senate candidate Josh Mandel, is praising Trump even more than ever, and it's like it makes you want to throw up. I mean, and I just hope Tim Ryan ends up, actually it's a different race, so Josh Mandel,
he's
running for governor, but I'm just hoping, which is he running for? I think he's running for governor, or maybe it's the Senate. I think he is running for the Senate, actually, and I hope it is the Senate, now that I'm thinking of it, but he's just scary as hell, no regard for human life. These are pro-life people, in quotes, who don't care about human lives.
Do you think they even think about it? I don't think that they don't care about human life. I think they just don't think about it. It can't happen to me.
And yet we've had conservative talk show hosts and Christian leaders who have said, I'm not getting the vaccine, I'm not doing the mask, and they got sick and have died, and they've even said on their deathbed, I should have done it. A whole slew of them.
I think almost all of them have said, I shouldn't have done that. But, that's a sad part of where we're living right now. Do you think... I'll go back to the Afghanistan thing.
Do you
think that we will have trouble, or that the European countries will have trouble bringing those refugees in?
You mean the ones that have been allowed out?
Left.
Well, it seems like most countries are willing to accept them.
Except
and most governors in the United States seem to think so, but a few of them have not answered, and our governor here, meaning, and in Texas, have not said anything yet, but to me, there shouldn't even be, in my mind, a choice. The governors cannot dictate. I think if the federal government says you're going to have refugees, they're going to have refugees. That's why I look at it. And to me, the governors have become dictatorial to the point of craziness.
Yeah, and it isn't really, as far as I can see, it really isn't their choice whether we have them or not. Now, they may be able to say, oh, I'm not going to put them up in federal or state housing or something like that, but I don't know. I'm hoping that we can find some empathy in our lives.
We don't seem to have it. Although Joe Biden has tons of empathy. Look at how he could see he was weeping when he saw the return of the bodies on Sunday from Afghanistan. You could see...
Yeah.
You know, the man is really human, and to me, he's wonderful. He's great. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but Joe Biden, I mean, based on what's happened so far, I think he stands out as a really ethical, moral, decent human being, and we need that.
Yeah, we do. Now, one of the things that really struck me this week is I was looking at a map of the United States. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and Arkansas have less than 10% of their ICU beds available throughout the whole state.
So it worries me, got the bit, if someone suddenly had a heart attack, had an auto accident, of course, worrying about myself and my son who lives with me, and generally I'm just saying, my God, who wants to go to a hospital?
You know? Well, why is it all those states there? It's really a cluster, right, in the southeastern
side of the United
States.
Because they don't take care of the issue of mandates on masks and vaccinations really enforce it.
Why are
those
people?
That's why, and they show recklessness, all because of especially of Texas and Florida, the ambitions of the governors and of course the governor of Texas is in a wheelchair, so he's disabled already. What is wrong with him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, let's move on to the committee that's looking at everything that went on the 6th of January. And they are now calling for phone records of all sorts of people.
Yes, I'll give you the list. Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Jody Heiss of Georgia, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Biggs of Arizona, I wrote about it yesterday, Paul Gosar of Arizona, Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Madison Cawthorn, who I just mentioned earlier, who's only 26, of North Carolina, Mo Brooks of Alabama, Jim Jordan of Ohio, and Louis Gohmert of Texas. And these people, their records must be kept of their phone records and everything else, because I think they're all guilty of sedition and treason and need to be prosecuted.
They need
to be investigated anyway.
I thought it was very telling when our congressman, Jordan, was asked the question by two different people.
He stuttered.
Not only did he stutter, he just about wet his pants. He was really struggling to figure out what to say when they asked him, did you call the president on that day? And I think he was trying to give himself a little room to say, well, maybe I didn't call him before, or maybe not after, or whatever.
I would wish that your station could get him, because he's been on your station.
He has been. Scott is interviewed.
I would wish that Scott could get him on an interview and interview him and see what happens. It would be great, you know?
I've offered him on the air that if he ever wants to be on my show, he would be more than happy to have him. I know Scott would be more than happy to have him.
Oh, my gosh. Don't forget, Scott's interviewed to the stars, as people say. So he's a star now in a bad way, but he's a star, Jordan. I would like to see him on Scott's show.
I would, too. And I think he would be more likely to be on Scott's show than my show, because Scott pretty much rides the fence and
yes.
really doesn't. And my show, well, it's called A Progressive Life, so you're going to know what you're going to get.
You're a communist. That's what people think anyway, yeah.
Of course.
Or socialist, oh my God, like McCarthy, you know, Kevin McCarthy says, oh, what they're trying to do is socialism. What about socialism to the defense industries? What about socialism to the wealthy? That's all right.
The farmers who get
the farmers,
socialism.
Too, yes.
Yeah, and now we have that here, and I asked a lot of, when I was running for office, I asked a lot of young farmers, what do you feel? Do you feel that's socialism or not? Well, they all admitted it's socialistic, and they needed it, and I understand that, and I am more than willing to give our farmers help when they need it. Now, I'd prefer not to give it to the multinationals, the huge conglomerates that come in and take up, you know, tens of thousands of acres of soybean and tens of thousands of acre of corn. I'd prefer not to give them as much leeway, but we have a lot of really nice farm people around here.
Oh, of course,
I'm
sure.
Absolutely.
They're
love
important.
Them.
Yeah.
I would. And as a Democrat, I think it's good to give them support, because there are years they need it, and then there are other years where they don't need it. But when they need it, they need it, and I think we need to support them.
Yes, it also amazes me how many people who are struggling economically, whether white or minority, would talk that they don't like socialism, but they accept whatever welfare payments they get and whatever support they get, and they don't realize what they're saying and what they're doing.
Well, and a lot of the filthy rich, upper class, I guess you'd call them, people who run countries have companies have no problem at all with taking stuff from the government. As a matter of fact, they find all sorts of ways of not paying taxes.
It's just hypocrisy. Yeah. It's just a lie, you know, and yet people don't like the word socialism, and they think it's communism, and they don't know either term what it really means.
My favorite response to somebody that says that I'm a socialist, and first of all, I don't really think of myself as a socialist. I think I think of myself as a people person.
Yes.
And people are social, and I want to take care of people that need to be taken care of. But my favorite response to people that say I'm a socialist is, Jesus Christ was a socialist. Come on.
Yes.
And I've been listening lately on YouTube about the best responses as an atheist to people that say you have to be religious. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know why I started listening to those, but I just like to keep my mind going that way.
Yes.
And Pastor, he goes by Pastor, not Reverend, Pastor Craig is on every Sunday at 11 o'clock, and he's going to be on this Sunday, and he called me this morning and said, Glenn, will you be on my show? Well, I was going to engineer the show anyway, but he wanted me to actually talk on it. That's kind of fun.
Because oh, good. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. He's the type of pastor that I can talk to because he listens rather than shoots his mouth off all the time.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can give him as much respect as he gives me. That's what I'm going to
work on. That's fantastic. Yeah. What really bothers me is when you have people who are preachers or just people who use the term good Christians and they're anti-Semites, beginning that Jesus was Jewish and never became a Christian.
Yeah, they forget that. That's a great one. That Jesus was Jewish.
Yes.
And I don't think you would consider him highly conservative Jew, but I think he did go by all the rules, the Jewish rules, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that Jesus was circumcised, I assume that...
Supposedly. And also, supposedly he had a beard and long hair, so that's like hippie type.
Well, he didn't look like the Anglo-Saxon guy that I was...
And he may not have been white.
Yeah.
He may have been more Middle Eastern, where he was a person of color.
Well, every Easter, my father, had a, he was a minister, I keep saying this, but there are people that are first-time listeners and don't know. So my dad would have, on Wednesday night, we'd have a big a get-together with food and stuff like that during Lent, and Dad would talk about all the different things that went on from the Bible during that time, and it was really fun. I really enjoyed listening to things like that, and my father was a historical critical minister. In other words, if it couldn't be proved, he stayed away from it. And so I learned an awful lot of critical religion. My religion was based on facts, which we're really struggling to do right now. And I'm going to, I might bring that up with Pastor Craig. Pastor Craig is along that line, too. He believes in facts. Now, he will not take the shot, but he already had COVID, so he really doesn't need the shot. But
well, actually,
I'd like to see
who
him
have
get
had the shot also get COVID. It happens, so but it makes it less bad if you've had it. But I'm surprised he wouldn't take it. Why wouldn't he? You don't know.
I don't know his reasoning, and I didn't push him. And I'm not the type of person that's going to push you. If you believe in something, that's your belief.
But I would say, did he take a polio shot when he was younger?
Probably.
Did he take measles, mumps, rubella?
Yeah, all of them.
There's no rational answer to this. There really isn't. And now, at least Pfizer has been made completely official.
That yes, right.
Fine. You took Pfizer or you took Moderna?
Mine was Pfizer.
Okay, and I took a third one of Moderna, and now Moderna, they say, is more effective than Pfizer.
Yeah, that's
today.
What I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so, but meanwhile, I'm in a class where one-third of the students will not wear a mask, and I can't do anything about it, but I wear the mask all the way up. But I am annoyed because I've discovered some faculty are not coming. They're remote, but I guess they're full-time people, and I'm not, so I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not complaining, but they all say if somebody gets sick in the class, you got to notify, and it might affect the class meeting, so who knows? At some point I may end up doing it online. I wouldn't even mind it. I actually prefer it, even though it's nice seeing the students. But I just think it's reckless, but it's because the state of Florida doesn't have a mandate because of the governor, and the university system can't mandate it.
Yeah.
You know, the people have masks or get vaccines, but they're offering $150 at Florida Atlantic University to any student who has not been vaccinated who agrees to be. $150, isn't that something?
Yeah, we have I'm trying to remember who it is here in town that's offering $100 if they will get the shot.
So $150, I'm hoping some of my students will do that, but, who knows?
It
a lot of people have their heads that sound like an ostrich.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that more and more people are getting the shot, and I'm glad to hear that, but certainly not fast enough for my take.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, we're down to about 6 minutes. Is there something that you have been trying to get off your chest that we haven't talked about?
Oh, my God, well, I could get off my chest.
Okay, well, we only have 6 minutes, not 6 hours.
I pointed out about the March on Washington this past week, which didn't get a lot of attention because of the hurricane. But I mean, it wasn't anything as big as in 1963. But I mean, we're in a situation now where voting rights are being taken away, and I don't know whether anything's going to be done about it. And now abortion rights in Texas are gone. The Supreme Court would not stop the 6-week abortion ban. So the Supreme Court is so far to the right, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
they will not intervene. So we're having the basic rights of people being taken away, and the Supreme Court added to it since 2013 when they repealed a lot of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So it's very sad, the situation we're in now, and not much said about what happened on the weekend. And of course, the hurricane is a nightmare. A whole month possibly before electricity is restored, power is restored in New Orleans and other parts of Louisiana. This country is going through hell. It really is in so many ways.
You didn't get hit by any of the side winds, did you?
No, well, because Florida was not hit by it. You know,
yeah.
It's Louisiana's far away, you know. Maybe the panhandle part of Florida, but not South Florida,
yeah.
No. But it makes me think, my gosh, we're in hurricane season. It could happen, you know, it could hit South Florida like Andrew did in 92 or Wilma did in 05. And the thought of not having power or, you know, having damage done, it's horrifying. Situation. It's a horrible way to live, and I don't think our governor will do much to get us ready or deal with it, like compared to Jeb Bush, who I think was an excellent governor in dealing with the hurricanes of 04, 05.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Jeb Bush looks better all the time, but this man, he just thinks about how he can gain by anything. He doesn't care about us.
Well, now I was kind of looking through my notes because I wanted to find out who had offered the money to get your shot, and it's Marion Public Health is offering $100 prepaid gift card if you get your first dose.
Yeah, here's $150, which is even better, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it will. I might even mention it in class. Are you aware of that? I'll just say it, you know, to those, you know, cause even those who have a mask may not have been back, so I'll just say. Are you aware that you can get $150 if you agree to be vaccinated? Just not force it, but bring it up, you know.
If I recall,
anybody who might be enticed to do it, why not?
If I recall correctly, as a student, money was everything to me.
Yeah. And cost of education is much worse now than it was when you and I were.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I took, I think, about 15 shots when I was in basic training.
And you couldn't have said no. Now the military's going to make them do it, and they can't say no.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, what'll happen to those people that do say no? And there will be a few. There won't be very many, but there will be a few.
I think they'll be court-martialed and kicked out of the military, I guess.
Yeah, or not be allowed, because we got those shots in basic training, so they could just close them out of basic training, not have to court-martial, just not accept them.
Well, what if they've gone through that, and they're further along, you know,
yeah,
and they refuse to
know.
Be? That's
yeah.
the issue, then.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know, but to me, this idea of freedom. Freedom does not mean you can do whatever you want, no matter how reckless it is to everybody else. We have social responsibility for to promote public health and safety, and that is part of being in the military, it's part of being any career field, and I would argue anybody who does not have the vaccinations, nobody should admit them to their home. To do any kind of work, you know, that's what I would say. And that can make these people wake up and smell the flowers if people say, I'm not letting you in unless you're masked and vaccinated and prove it.
There are a lot of people that are screaming freedom, freedom, freedom. But but when it comes down to, does a woman have a right to have an abortion? Oh, well, that's not freedom. We won't let the women have... Now, the Supreme Court has kept their mouth shut, which I find is a coward's way out.
Well, also, whenever anybody makes an appeal, they just reject it without an actual decision.
Yeah.
But it's always the six members picked by five of them by presidents who weren't elected by the popular vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sixth one, Clarence Thomas, never should have been on the court in the first place. So the court is a disgrace right now. I'm sorry. I should have said that because then Scott loves that word.
He hates the word disgrace. Well, we're down to our...
Sorry, I shouldn't keep on saying it, but it's a good word, disgrace.
Well, it covers a lot of people.
Yes.
Well, we're down to our final minute.
Yeah, thanks again. It's been great, so I look forward to next week.
Okay.
And we're going to be down to... next week, 2 weeks before the anniversary, 3 weeks from today.
And we'll have to plan something for our anniversary. You know, I do have a confetti cannon. I could shoot it off here. Put confetti all over the inside here. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Feinberg. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Feinberg let's see, I've got to hit the right button again. Dr. Feinberg is the station's presidential and assassination expert. He knows all that stuff. So I hope you had a good time, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Ohio State